You've heard us talk about DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, and how payday can come every day by entering their contests with huge cash prizes up for grabs. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night, and it's simple to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings has paid out over $7 billion to users all across sports. DraftKings is the leader in daily fantasy sports, so there is no better place to get in on all the action. Now that you know how to play, download the DraftKings app and sign up using promo code THPN. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's promo code THPN to get a free entry with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Today on the Soda Pod, we dive into the Hoppy Hour, and also we'll talk about the Stanley Cup being awarded yet again to the Tampa Bay Lightning. We'll touch on Kevin Fiala and Kirill Kaprizov's extension talks. We'll talk a little expansion draft and the Wild's depth chart moving into the summer. And we'll end off with a Tim Peel's Hot Mic of the Week. All that and more in episode 175 of the Soda Pod. Let's go. From the wild woods of Vancouver Island, welcome to the Soda Pod. Isha Droma here alongside the State of Hoppy. And thank you for joining us wherever and whenever you are listening. Hoppy, how's it going?
It's going all right, man. I was telling you already, and I guess you're in the same boat here. A little bit more buzzed coming into the show than I usually am. We went out and met up with the brother-in-law and fiance and went to both Back Channel and Excelsior and, well, had a few beers and we're feeling pretty good right now.
He's also a little rattled because he was hoping to find a tweet prior to the show and fucking, he couldn't find it.
Makes no sense. I don't know how I can't find it, but
yeah. Shout out Phillips Brewing and Malting Co. I've been hard on the Solaris lately. I know I talked about them on the last episode. I got another six pack box featured here on the podcast, and the white peach ales are awesome. They're so easy to crush in the summer. So prepping for the show, I had a little bit of time. I had some of my daily tasks done early as I went away for the weekend. Came back, was waiting to use the studio here at the THPN headquarters. I was like, shit, maybe I'll pop a Solaris or two. And a few later, here we are recording the Soda Pod. So I'm usually like, you know, overprepared just right after a day of, you know, a days of work coming into this recording. And today it actually just feels like the end of a weekend. So cheers to everybody in these summer months here as we're hockeyless now that the Stanley Cup playoffs are over. The Stanley Cup has been awarded. We'll talk about that and what we're continuing to drink here on the Soda Pod in the next segment. Before that, though, I want to remind everyone, hit us up on Twitter and Facebook at the Soda Pod. We love being interactive with you folks. You can also leave us a text or voicemail at 612-324-1684. Hit us up with your wild takes. Hit us up with your praise and criticism of the Soda Pod. And Hoppy, more importantly, why should the folks hit us up on the text line? We have a segment Wednesday that, you know, we talk about being interactive here on the Soda Pod. This is taking it to another level.
Yeah, we want to hear, for our segment, Make Good Choices, about times that you have distinctively not made good choices. Again, more often than not, we're going to be launching this off with our boy Q, who makes incredible choices by and large, at least for us. And we just want to hear more stories. If anyone has anything noteworthy that you're willing to come on as a guest and share for one of our Wednesday segments, please do. And you can do that at
612-324-1684. It's free. There's no charges. And a big thanks to Open Phone. It's a cell phone in an app. Great monthly rates at only $10 a month, only at Open Phone. Shit, there might even be a promo code option. If there is, plug THPN in. I'm sure you get some percentage off. The Hockey Podcast Network is also powered by DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Use promo code THPN for a sign-up bonus. And if you're a regular user, plug that promo code in for weekly deals. I know in Minnesota, no one could do direct sports betting on the UFC bout this last weekend. Up here in Canada, I was hoping to put some money on, a McGregor first-round knockout too. Very glad I didn't due to the doctor stopping. Just as Hoppy told me prior to the recording, he knocked himself out there. So to those who did make some money on that listening outside the state of hockey and Canada, congratulations to you and my fellow UFC fans. Okay, on the other side, we're diving into the Hoppy Hour. I got a fun beer on tap. Hoppy's always got some great stuff on tap, and we'll also dive in to the Stanley Cup finale. You're listening to the Soda Pod, episode 175, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.
First, I'd like to propose a toast to UMD goaltender Alex Stalock. To Stalock!
To Stalock!
I love that stuff. Been drinking it for years. I heard they recently decided to add more hops to it.
You're all hopped out?
All right, Hoppy, what do you got on tap?
Shout out to absolutely no one, because I can't find the tweet where someone posted it and asked about it. But
if you're out there, tweet him back. We want to know.
We have, from Blackstack, which happens quite often, Hop Circles Exhibit M. Really cool can, delicious beer. I will say it's a little out of character for Blackstack. They usually have this one's a little bit like lighter and cleaner kind of beer, like still a lot of flavor, but usually theirs are almost, I don't know, thick is the wrong word, but
rich.
That's the best I can really give to it. It's just a little like heavier IPA.
Rich is the right word.
Sure.
What other synonym could it be?
Rich has nothing to do with it. Rich is sweet. I'm not talking sweet.
Okay.
Like, it's just like a thicker, heavier, I don't know. But this one, still very good. This one's actually probably a little bit sweeter than normal. So maybe this one is rich, Isha. But I don't know. Per usual, great beer by Blackstack, as long as it's not a sour called Make Good Choices.
Oh, I got a sour waiting in my fridge for when Q jumps back on to bank some more content with us. The Dino Sour Blackberry Sour from, I believe that's actually Phillips as well. That one's okay. More sweet than sour, which obviously is my preference. But again, it's just not my thing. And I saw a pickle sour the other day. I don't know. I don't know
why,
if that's my thing either.
Sour?
It was a pickled sour beer. That
right,
was,
I'm saying, like, what's the connection? Like, pickles aren't sour.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah, we got this nice chocolate vanilla sour. Like, what the fuck?
I got on tap today one from Riot Brewing called Run PMC. The graphics on it are awesome. They got the peach man, the mango, and the carrot, which is what the PMC stands for. They even have a rhyme, Shane Rap style. I'll read it for you here. Plenty of beers that start with just wheat. That's not enough, so we had to add peach. It's all good, but the fruit needs to tango. To give it peach a partner, hell, we added mango. Still needs more, cause we can't bear it. Check out the fridge and added a carrot. A beer so fine that it's carefree. It's so hard. Believe it's Run PMC. So big shout out to Riot Brewing. Big shout out to Shane. We're going to have to get him to record that so we can have a special intro here on the Soda Pod. I have had a few Riot Brewing beers before. I can't say that I remember them too well, but I, no complaints. Recently been seeing them on the shelves all summer, so excited to dive into them this summer. As I said, went huge on the stouts in the winter. They're off the shelves. It's hot out. We're seeing more IPAs. We're seeing more wheat ales. We're seeing more sours, although I'm probably going to stay clear of those. Riot Brewing is all the rage here now in BC, so excited to try this one, and maybe we'll reach out at the Riot folks and see if they want to join in on all the madness in August for Malt Madness.
All the madness.
Wow. crazy flavors here. Peach, mango, and carrot. You can definitely taste the carrot. I know a lot of people aren't like a fan of like carrot juice. I actually used to put carrot juice on my vanilla ice cream as a kid. A little bit weird there, but actually just added a really cool, interesting sweetness. But anyways, I like carrot juice. I think this is an incredible beer. And it's not overly sweet. You can definitely taste all the flavors. And I think, yeah, it comes in only 5.5%. So this is an awesome one. Shout out Riot Brewing. Hop, you're looking at me funny.
Carrot juice on your ice cream?
Yeah. Maybe it's a hippie thing.
I think that's just a you thing.
I don't know. My old man did it. And like he's from the Middle East, but he's actually right on the Persian Gulf is where he grew up. So he's like the hippie of Iran. So it's like, oh, it makes sense. He came to Vancouver Island.
Yeah, no, this all makes more sense now.
Yeah. So he's the one who actually, you know, showed that to me. And as a kid, I was like, oh no, here's some more weird shit. Some
the Hawaii weird stuff. Of the Middle East.
Well, it's not an island, so it's not quite. although there is a really cool island off the Persian Gulf, but I won't get into that in this segment. Shut up. No, but again, shout out Riot Brewing. This one's awesome. Let's move on. Talk some Stanley Cup Finals. It's over. The season's over. The offseason, it's officially begun. The buyout window is open. A ton of rumors in that regard. We're not going to dive into that in this episode, though. Let's talk a little bit about that final series. Montreal was able to at least get one win, and overall, I think, you know, played a good series. They played the best they could with the tools that they had. A lot of their players obviously banged up at that stage. Their players who've been playing the big minutes, whereas Tampa, they can divide the minutes up pretty well with talent up and down. You go fourth line, top line, first defensive pairing, you know, third defensive pairing. So not surprised that even though Tampa faced some injury with, you know, Killorn out after I believe it was the first or second game in that series, you saw that they just kept coming and coming and coming. Stamkos actually won the cup. He actually played more than just one shift, one game like he did last year. One goal. So for any of the haters last season, they should have shut them up. No, those critics who were like, oh, it was too unique to be an authentic Stanley Cup win with the bubble, you know, cup last season, the championship then. I think that Tampa Bay won it. They won it this year. They dominated. I don't care if people are saying that they're cheaters. I thought it was a phenomenal win, and they just show that they're a step above every team in the NHL.
I mean, they got the Geico Walrus in net. They're $50 million over the salary cap. I don't know how you call this a clean Stanley Cup win.
Are you being cheeky with me, Hoppy?
Never. I'd never do that. People can shut the hell up.
It's crazy because if for me, it's just an excuse. It's an excuse at the end of the day. It's not a fact. Rules of the NHL. You know, if it was illegal to do in the National Hockey League rules, they would not have been able to do it.
Right. And like, even without the side story, which guess what? We're going to throw the side story in. They lose to the Blackhawks in 2015 doing the same bullshit. They are the only team that wants to change it. And everyone else says, nah, we're good. Okay. Fuck you. We're going to do it. Like what are you talking about? People are upset about this. Oh no, it's different. Patrick Kane got hurt in the middle of the season. And it was totally legitimate that he came back for game one of the playoffs. Shut up.
Yeah, it's crazy. And there's not enough issues. Again, like you said, there's not enough other teams. We don't see this enough where like the league is going to react and change the rules. Like I'll throw it back to when some GMs facilitate rule changes. You know, there've been, I think, caps on how much like cash that you can actually just send in a deal. We don't even see that much these days at all. I mean, those are, you know, prevalent back in the day. Mike Gillis and the Vancouver Canucks with their, you know, no trade clauses left, right, and center and extended deals, like, and the way they structured them. I mean, obviously the rules had to be changed after that. I don't think that this is even close to that degree of an issue where the NHL has to even blink an eye and take notice, to be perfectly honest.
You know, tell you what, man, even if this is totally intentional, if you're good enough that you can get through the entire regular season
without
one of your best offensive players playing, I guess you're just that good.
Bingo. That's exactly what I was going to say, because yeah, he had an unbelievable playoff showing. The Tampa Bay Lightning probably would have won without him. Someone else would have stepped up.
Someone else did. Brayden Point was the best forward on the team.
Well, I mean, even just in minutes, Stamkos would have played more minutes. Brayden Point would have played more minutes. Palat would have played more minutes. Tyler Johnson would have played fucking more minutes. This team is so deep.
God damn it. He's going to go to Seattle, and I'm going to be so upset.
Who? I just named, like...
Tyler Johnson.
Yeah, well, that's his home. He's going back to Washington.
No, but they tried all last year to get rid of him to make cap at least a little bit closer to even. And now, after he plays this well in the playoffs... Tampa's going to throw another first-round pick. They're going to take him, no questions asked, and there we go.
I mean, this is a perfect segue into talking about Matt Dumba and the Minnesota Wild, but I will put a halt on that because I want to just give Montreal a little bit of time here on the podcast. I mean, I had a little bit more high hopes for them. Maybe they were a little bit more banged up than we thought. Maybe they just underestimated the Tampa Bay Lightning because of how after they... After they got their wheels under them against Toronto, they just were dominant since. So maybe, again, they underestimated how hard that last challenge would have been and underperformed in that result.
Underestimated the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's a bold move. Well, maybe.
They lost, so...
Because the Tampa Bay Lightning are that much of a better team.
I'm not saying that's the reason why they lost. I'm saying that that must have been part of the equation there. If obviously injury and just the fact that they are vastly not as good.
I mean, good for them. Good for Carey Price kind of proving me wrong. Like, I still want to see him do it during the regular season. But, like, he absolutely played like vintage Carey Price. But... Problem is, the guy's never, like, last, what, 3 years? He hasn't been able to do anything in the regular season. Thank God for their sake they brought Jake Allen in, who's about to be taken by Seattle, so that's going to be done. I don't know, man. It's a tough thing, but it's really exciting for them being able to look and see that they have their first line solidified, and it's only going to get better. When you look at Suzuki and Caulfield, oh, my God. God damn it. I know everyone's excited about Matt Boldy, and I have no problem with the guy. Why the fuck didn't we take Caulfield? Why?
I honestly think that, and maybe it's because he's the fresh new toy, much like the example with, you know, Kaprizov and Fiala, but Nick Suzuki is
so good.
No disrespect to Caulfield. I want to see more of him because we've seen cases of, you know, a la Sam Bennett, whatnot, who came into the league and just were on fire in the playoffs. Yeah. You know, Theo Fleury did it as well, won a cup. He became a superstar. He was a legend in the game. It's funny I bring that. I didn't even bring that up because of the size, but hey, there's a size comparison there too with Caulfield. Yeah.
Hey, Jake Guentzel came in, was awesome in the playoffs, yeah. And he fizzled out and he's been garbage since, right? Oh, wait. No, but I mean, you're right though. I agree. Suzuki, way more proven.
And wow, he impressed me. He impressed me all season. You know, I had the North Division shoved down my throat here in Canada, watched way too much Montreal and Maple Leafs games, and didn't with that much salt. You know, that I carried that much salt in my mouth. I didn't appreciate Suzuki as much as I did when I, you know, was rooting for the Habs in the Stanley Cup playoffs here. And wow, did that kid ever impress me. He is going to be a superstar in the National Hockey League. He does everything right, Hoppy. And he's confident to make bold fucking plays. Like, there was he had someone on his, it might have been Caulfield or whoever the other line mate was. He had him on his left. He just knew he was there positionally, blind pass to him, did the spinorama without the puck, retrieved the puck, spinorama the opposite side, so the right side, and then he didn't score on the play. And I believe this was actually in that final game where Tampa, you know, won the Stanley Cup at home. But I was just blown away with that play. I remember it brought me to my feet being like, wow, this kid in this game, obviously, you know, playing with house money at that point, you know, fighting for survival just to get to that next game. But he blew me away. I think he took steps forward in his development this offseason or in these playoffs. And I'm excited to see him. And I think the Montreal Canadiens should be very, very excited with not only the prospects that are on this team right now, but, you know, some that are coming up too, like that Paling kid. Like, he's legit as well.
Paling is so damn good.
Are you surprised I said his name right?
A little bit. You've probably heard it a couple times.
Fulling?
Why would it be Fulling? It's P-O-E-H.
I don't know. I don't have it in front of me. I just knew it was something fucked like that. American stud, though. Ripped it up at the World Juniors. And his first game. Didn't he get a hat trick in his first game with the Habs?
Yep, and yep. He's hardly played since.
Yeah, you gotta earn your stripes in Laval. There you go.
Oh man, but no, we have to though, because it sounded like you were about to transition there. We have to mention the legendary interview that was Nikita Kucherov. Holy shit. And first off, that's on Bud Light, people. Imagine if he is drinking vodka like he's accustomed to. The comments we would have gotten would have been incredible. I wish we could have gotten a Northland vodka-filled Nikita Kucherov spewing out everything he wanted to say. And guess what? The things he said were true, right? It pisses people off, but nothing he said was wrong. Like, Vasilevsky has been the best goalie in the league the last 3 years.
Yep.
No questions asked. Doesn't win any accolades for it. They give it to Fleury for a participation trophy, whatever. But then, I mean, he comments on Montreal, and he's probably going to get another cross check to the ribs when he goes back there again, because got to defend the fans. But they were going nuts for one single win. And hey, he's a little butthurt too that he got a cheap shot that led to an injury and he couldn't play out the series the way he would have wanted to. Guy just won his back-to-back cup. He's no Pat Maroon, but who is, right? And he just wanted to go off and tell people what he fucking thought, and he did.
I love it. And you know what? It pisses me off, because NHL fans of our generation are the fucking worst. They want it like other sports. They want the characters like the NBA, the flashiness and big show like the NFL. Yet when players are real, they are so angry about it, because
this is what they ask for.
It doesn't make sense. So why does the NBA not piss you off? Why does MLB not piss you off? Why does the NFL not piss you off? Why do players being themselves and peeling back the curtain a little bit more in hockey? Why does that piss you off? I don't understand, especially when it's harmless like this. Like, obviously, if things are over the line, they're over the line. That's not what I'm arguing.
Nothing was over the line in this.
Absolutely not. I loved, and I'm a Canadian here, okay? And I loved every bit of it. I think it's funny, because I think other general hockey fans are more pissed off about this than even Montreal Canadiens fans, to be perfectly honest. It's
just dumb.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Absolutely, man. One last shout out to Shea Weber. This may be his last run to get anywhere this deep in the playoffs. So he had a hell of a run. Obviously, he's a fraction of what he was when he was with Nashville alongside Ryan Suter, one of the most feared defensive pairings I'd say of all time, probably. It was unbelievable, and he was able to continue to play in Montreal. He's not done. He's still got a few more years left. And yeah, I just want to give a shout out to the Sick Moose BC boy. And last but not least, back to back to back, the big rig USA boy won two cups on USA teams, one of them being his home team in St. Louis.
He won three cups on USA teams. What are you talking about?
Isn't that what I just said?
You said two.
Oh, three cups on three teams, one of which on at home where he grew up in St. Louis. And the big rig, man, the Patrick is going to be the coin term now for when people go back to back to back.
The fat trick. The fat trick.
That's good, too. I can't wait to see his Stanley Cup parade speech, because last year's was legendary. The cell phones. Everybody get the cell phones out. Turn on the lights.
He's
I'm
fun.
The big rig. I'm back to back.
Oh man, he's fun. I like him. He's a good guy. I gotta say, I don't agree with best defensive pairing, but I will throw out to all those people that are butthurt about Kucherov not following hockey protocol with his post-game speech. Weber more than made up for it when Carey Price says, "Yeah, I wasn't good enough in the early parts of the series." Immediately cut off by Shea Weber, and he's like, "No, that's just not even fair. Like, we didn't do nearly enough in front of him. This is on us. Like, Tampa's a better team. Kudos to them. But no, Carey, shut the fuck up."
And that's the thing. Carey Price, he's so humble, and he's honestly the worst interview. And I hate when, CBC and Sportsnet always take Carey out of everybody else. Like, even Kotkaniemi, you can barely speak English. Like, he's way more chipper and, exciting behind the camera there. Carey Price with his, like, one-word answer sucks. But, no, again, that just shows how awesome of a human and player Shea Weber is. And, you know, he's my favorite player, not only because of how dominant he was on the ice, but and not only because he's from British Columbia, but I hear he's just an unbelievable human too. I met him once.
Of course, he's from British Columbia. God, oh yeah.
In passing, but apparently at all like the local charity golf tournaments that are here at BC and stuff, like, you know, very generous donations and make sure that he's there and mingles with everybody and gives everyone his time for that kind of stuff too. So great way to wrap up the NHL season. I mean, the series wasn't as, you know, back and forth as some of the series were leading up to it, but hey, the better team won. We have a new dynasty possibly in Tampa Bay, depending on how they do next year as well. I know changes are on the horizon, but the lawyer from Prince George, John Cooper, I mean, I know in his speech he said, you know, it's all about the players and the tools there, but he's created a damn good culture, and I'm excited to see what's in store for this Tampa Bay Lightning team. And dare I say it, the fucking Montreal Canadiens. Okay. On the other side, we're going to talk a little bit about Kaprizov's and Fiala's extension. A little bit of news on that front. This segment's not going to be too long just because we usually save the meat on the bone wild talk-wise for the Friday episode. But a little bit of news here as we lead up to the expansion draft, and then we'll end off the show with Tim Peel's Hot Mic of the Week. You're listening to the Soda Pod episode 175, presented by DraftKings and the Hockey Podcast Network. So there we go, Hoppy. We said we didn't have a lot to talk about today, and we milked most of the episode in the first segment. So there we go. We don't have to bullshit too much about the Wild here or extend the segment for the sake of extending it, as there's not too much to talk about, especially with this first hit. Kaprizov, Fiala, look, especially the Kaprizov one, this one's going to drag out. You know, do I expect to see Kaprizov in camp? Yes, I don't think it's going to drag out right to the wire. It could. But apparently, a few offers sent his way, Kaprizov and his team there have rejected every single one. So no progress yet on that front.
I mean, again, that's all talk. I don't really care. That's posturing. It's bullshit. If he wants to play in the KHL, he can play in the KHL. Like, I don't think that's what he wants at all. He is removing himself from the situation and letting his agent figure it out. Eventually, he gets in. Again, we're looking at probably a 3 or 4 year deal. They're probably asking for 2. We're probably asking for 6+. It's going to fall somewhere in between. That is what it is.
So speaking of falling somewhere in between, do you think that Fiala and his camp will do just that?
No, that's looking bad. I don't know how true it is, but reports are coming out that he's looking for 7 to 8, and there's just no chance.
Cap hit or years?
AAV.
That's what I expect, but would you think he would take a shorter term then again? I know he just came off a quote-unquote bridge. I think it was, what, $4.5 million for the 2-year deal, something like that?
Yeah, problem is I don't think he'll take another quote-unquote bridge for, like, lesser dollar values. Like, that's almost one where you'd have to pay more to get a bridge.
What if it's a 2-year deal at, like, $7.5 million AAV? I believe he's still...
I don't like it.
He will still be restricted after that, too. So it's interesting.
Wait, really?
I believe so. He's only 24.
Yeah. Two more years doesn't get him to free agency.
How many years has he played in the league? It's either 1 or 2 more years. It's close to the line there.
I think he absolutely signs a 2.75 if he thinks that, like, it's going to lead to something else for him. But I think that's setting a bad precedent, because then if you go to the point of, you know, qualifying offer for him, if he is restricted, like you say, that ends up being big bucks.
Yes, but it just may be what works at this time if they want to keep him. The Vancouver Canucks made the same quote mistake, if you want to call that, with Brock Besser, because they had to do the same thing. They gave him the 2 or 3 year deal at, I think it was just above $6.5 million, and now, you know, he's continued to score and be a dominant player for them, and now he's going to command the big bucks. But at the time, they didn't have any more money to give him, so they couldn't give him the deal that he probably deserved at that time with, you know, length and palatable AAV. And I see Fiala in a similar situation.
Well, let's go down hypothetical land then, where, I mean, let's be real. If things keep on going the wrong direction and Guerin doesn't get what he wants from Kaprizov's camp, what would you want back for a Kirill Kaprizov if you decide, all right, you know what? He doesn't want to be here. Let's put our chips in with Fiala instead.
I mean, a lot. You could go after that top center, probably.
Oh,
you know,
you could easily go after that top center, but who is that top center? Because I don't think that, I mean, from what we've heard, I don't think Eichel is going to be satisfactory for a lot of fans. So let's just go into other options than him.
Well, Hobby, maybe you go off the board a little bit, and I say off the board in that not a player who's been in the tabloids lately as wanting to leave their team. Agree. Maybe you go after a team who has some centers already, maybe didn't expect anyone to call asking for one with a legit offer, but you dangle Kaprizov in front of them and you say, oh, damn, this could be something special here.
Mm-hmm. What if we went, and this isn't one for one, chill out, people, but one that I just lick my chops over is a Rupe Hintz. And you're probably getting something else back with him if you're 100%. Trading Kaprizov, and I'm pretty thrilled in that scenario.
You get Hintz and the Robertson kid back somehow, and that's just like icing on the cake.
No, the Wild fans wouldn't even accept that.
Yeah, but you and I would accept that, and that's all that matters.
I'd love it, but no, dude. And Rupe Hintz is just a random one that came up that's like not at all available, but God, would I give anything to bring in a player like that. And again, hey, if it becomes the whole like, hey, we're actually moving Kaprizov, let's have a real conversation about Braden Point. Why not? They love their Russians. Kaprizov probably is willing to sign a lesser deal with the Lightning. Let's be real. At least less than what Point did there. They, again, get him to the point of quote-unquote free agency, and guess what? If he's having a good time in Tampa, he's probably going to sign again. So they're less worried about potentially losing him, and even if you make that swap, they're probably going back and winning another cup.
Yeah. Philadelphia Flyers, there's an option there. Konecki, he's a damn good player as well. They could get I know you're not a Flyers fan, but what?
Not doing it.
Is that just a bias thing or just
partially? I also don't think they have anything to give us that's worthwhile for Kaprizov, that is.
They could package a good deal and the Wild could fill in some holes there because they just have to change things up anyway. So like I would say
for next episode, you come up with what that package is and I will be completely objective and tell you whether or not it's a worthwhile deal.
Okay. Next episode, I'll come with a few other packages because we just started talking about this naturally. This just came up as we were recording here on air. So I'm going to dive into this a little bit more and give you some realistic options here. They're going to piss off all of Minnesota Wild Twitter and the listeners on the Soda Pod because they're like, yo, why the fuck are Ish and Hoppy talking about a Kaprizov trade? Well, if he doesn't want to sign here,
fuck him.
Yeah, and he's asking the sun, moon, and his stars just to, you know, put up the middle finger to Billy Guerin in the Wild. Then, you know, screw you. I'd rather go in on Fiala, who I fucking love Fiala, so pay him whatever he wants.
I'll take either one as long as the other yields a center. But speaking of unbiased opinions on trades here, Isha, one that I got tagged in from our buddies over at Tip of the Iceberg, there's been a lot of talk about, I mean, because of Pittsburgh ties and whatnot, but also just because of, well, how shitty Jari was this year. John Gibson from the Anaheim Ducks to the Pittsburgh Penguins for Marcus Pedersen, Nathan Legare, and Joel Blomqvist, and 2022 first round pick. Which side is getting bent over, or is it fair?
I would say that Anaheim could probably get a more from that
deal. Wow. Okay. Yeah. I disagree. I would have said remove any of the last three options from Pittsburgh, and I love it, but I'd maybe consider as is. I don't know if you're going to get much more for John Gibson from a team that's clearly rebuilding.
Yeah, I mean, you get a lot of pieces there, which is good because they are rebuilding.
Nathan Legare is probably better than you realize.
Maybe. Yeah, and you're the Pittsburgh fan, but I think that as – and maybe that's just the thing. Maybe I think that you could get a little bit more of like established players. who are younger and have, you know, played in the league, and maybe the package leans more on those being a value coming back. Either way, it's not a bad trade. If the intention for the Anaheim Ducks is to get a bunch of pieces and they know, okay, at least two of these are a sure thing, or as close to a sure thing hit as possible, that player that you mentioned in particular, then sure. But John Gibson,
that player?
What was this? Legare?
Legare.
See? But I'm a huge fan of John Gibson. So I think he is very valuable. And I think
I think
he's one of the
putting
best,
him in the top three.
I think he's one of the best goaltenders.
Top three.
And the best American goaltender out there right now.
It's very 1A, 1B for me. I love John Gibson and I can be unbiased. Yeah, I think as of now, until proven otherwise, Hellebuck's 1A, Gibson's 1B.
I've watched Hellebuck
too much. How crazy is it that there's two American goaltenders that clean out any Canadian goaltender? It's not close.
I got into it on Twitter recently on the goaltender front, man. Canadians were not happy.
But they have Fleury.
Dude, that's exactly what they said.
Shut up.
Look at the playoffs. We have Fleury and Price. Look who's still. It was at the time when they were both the Vegas Golden Knights.
Did you see who won the Vezina eShot? That means he's the best.
Dude, I was just like, shut the fuck up, man. Like, dude, it's so bad. United States, they have Hellebuck, Gibson, Demko as their top three. Like, are you kidding me?
That's
like, are you kidding stupid. Me? And you know, and Demko hasn't even reached his ceiling yet.
Demko could maybe be the starter for Canada. Shit, and he's number three.
Dude, it's true. And to be perfectly honest, when Demko joined the Canucks, I was not as high on him as a lot of the Canucks fans, because I'm very much like, let's see how the goalie at the National League level plays, you know, like, fuck.
Oh, man, Isha, if we somehow get NHL players to the Olympics and we get USA versus Canada for a medal game or even like a deep round, I'm totally fine going double or nothing on our World Juniors bet that you have yet to pay out.
Let's go. Says I'm paying you in Canadian dollars. You're gonna get some bills.
No,
in the
we clarified that was USD.
No, it will be the amount in USD.
Okay, that's all I care about.
So it's gonna be like $126. You'll get some like loonies and toonies in there.
No, yeah, that's perfect. My wife's already complaining that we lost some of our Monopoly money, so we got to replace some of it.
I'll give you like one of each bill. You're gonna have so many Canadian bills.
Oh man.
Which apparently are extremely flammable. So watch yourself.
Watch yourself.
People leave them in their dryers, leave them in their jeans, sorry, when they put them in their dryers or their pants or whatnot, and they've just been blowing up dryers left, right, and center.
Wow. Okay.
Liability.
It's like those Galaxy Note phones on airplanes.
Oh, man.
I just pulled us off the rails. So if there's something you want to get into, I'm all ears. Otherwise, I kind of pushed you down that direction.
Let's save talking draft talk until the next until the Friday episode. Obviously, Wednesday, we got Make Good Choices with Q and Judge Joey. Friday, we'll talk a little bit more draft. I just got my draft guide this weekend, so I've been actually doing some homework. And I'm excited just to bring up some of my opinions on really how Judd Brackett is just salivating over this draft. It couldn't have worked out any better for how good he is at drafting. And I'm talking, you know, deep in the first and second round. Anyways, we'll get into that on the Friday episode. One last thing I want to say, you know, we've just been talking about Kaprizov. We've been talking about Fiala. Now more than ever, regardless of if it's via trade in the Wild, get back, you know, peanuts, or if Seattle takes him, Matt Dumba and, more importantly, the $6 million AAV has to go. It has to go.
Yeah, I mean, fans, if you have a way for us to get rid of the cap hit without getting rid of the player, I'm okay keeping him. But otherwise, no.
It's unfortunate, especially if you're a fan of that player. It's not possible, you know, given the situation that the Wild are in with Fiala and Kaprizov right now in their negotiations. And those two, you have to give priority over Matt Dumba when your defense is already legit.
Right. There's no way that you can prioritize keeping a Matt Dumba when, let's be real, even if you don't keep both Kaprizov and Fiala, you are swapping them out for a comparable player at the center position.
Who's going to cost more money. More than Dumba, you know, in the $6 million.
And like, just being honest, like I know a lot of people love like his attitude. They love that he's best friends with Kaprizov, and they love his stance, obviously, you know, battling everything that's going on right now with prejudice in America, right? But you look at building a hockey team, he literally has his replacement sitting in waiting in Iowa for entry-level contract value. And let's be real. Obviously, Dumba's been there longer. He's veteran.
He's player, established.
But Addison has way more of a ceiling than he has to offer. And if you don't think so, then clearly you haven't watched him play.
Yeah, and Addison, he's not hurt. He hasn't been hurt yet, like a Matt Dumba who's faced a bunch of injuries now.
And how about this? I'll do this to ease people's pain. Just close your eyes real quick as you're listening to this, all right? No, I'm serious. Actually, shut your eyes. Think about having, we'll even say, Erickson Ek at center. We have Fiala, Kaprizov, and then pick Rossi or Boldy. Maybe you even remove Ek and put Rossi and Boldy in, and then at the point, you have Kalen Addison. We've never, ever had a competent power play unit. That sounds goddamn beautiful.
Music to my ears. I'm excited to dive into that conversation a little bit more as we get closer and closer to the expansion draft. I'm excited to see what buyouts occur this week on the Friday episode. And I'm excited to dive into a little bit more draft talk, NHL entry draft talk as it pertains to the Wild. A lot of great centers available where the Wild's draft picks lie in the first round. Second and third round, too. I mean, this year's draft is unique because the players didn't have a full season to play. The scouts didn't have another full season to evaluate. Shit, we see players rise and drop in the rankings from one season to the next. So it could be a crapshoot in this draft. And I'm, as a draft junkie, I'm so excited to see how everything goes down and how it plays out. So really exciting Friday episode, folks. We'll get into that in a few days. To wrap up the show here, we got another Tim Peel's Hot Mic of the Week on episode 175 of the Soda Pod, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network.
Wasn't much, but I wanted to get a fucking penalty against Nashville early.
Tim Peel's Hot Mic of the Week, throwing it back to the NHL. This one, the audio came up pretty good considering it is mic'd up NHL fights and or a little bit pre and post fight. How I separated these two hoppies, so you actually, you know, can think of a good, you know, not an argument, but a good place for your vote to fit, you know, a good selection is one a little bit more tame, a little bit more hockey code, if that makes sense, you know, very less emotional, you know, very much a hockey fight. Whereas the other one, very much heated, and you can hear even the player yelling at the ref there to hold him back and whatnot. So we'll start with the cool, collected, old-school code hockey fight, and then I'll get Hoppy's opinion on which Tim Peel's Hot Mic of the Week he prefers. And then I would love, as always, the listeners to give us some feedback as well at the Soda Pod on Facebook and or Twitter. All right, let's start with a little more calm, cool, and collected clip here.
You want to? Okay. Squirrel? Okay, good luck, man.
Good luck, man.
Good luck, man. Let's go, he says. That's unbelievable.
Little George LaRocque being like to the smaller guy, yeah, you sure? All right,
so,
good luck,
do you
man.
Agree with me now that it's him?
It's 100% him. All right, this one, actually, I'll just give a little just backstory on it. A very, very angry Wayne Simmonds. Feels like he had some unfinished business and the ref wouldn't allow him to get up in it. So here you go.
Let go of me! Let go! clean head. The clean fucking head. Let go of me. Let go.
Who wants it? Who wants the video of that one's actually great because he's just skating around. I bet that was at the winter, one of the winter classics when he was with the Flyers, skating around. Who wants it? Who wants it? The ref's like, nope, no one's wanting it. And he's like, let me go, let me go. All right, Hoppy, out of the two clips, which Hot Mic takes gold this week?
I'm going with the first one being the code from George LaRocque, mostly because, I mean, Wayne Simmons losing his mind, like, it's entertaining, and if there was video, it'd probably be even better, but I feel like that happens so consistently, whereas, like, a player that's, like, shocked that someone wants to fight them, like, really? You sure you want to do this? That just seems more rare in the league, and, like, it's funny, too, because LaRocque was on Spittin' Chiclets, and, like, you heard how much he, like, hated fighting, and, like, he literally did it just because he wanted to play in the NHL. And, like, to hear him genuinely, like, dude, you actually want to fight me? Okay, good luck. Like, that's just funnier to me.
Yeah. Oh, I had another one that I cut last minute to add the Simmons one. And maybe, again, the video just influenced my decision a little bit when I watched it. But it was, and I cut it up even a little. I had it ready to go, too. I wasn't familiar with the Pittsburgh Penguins player. But it was something silly or Sill. Do you know who that was? Sill? I don't know. It was like mid-2000s or early-2000s. So I don't remember who it was. But anyways, the player, the Pittsburgh player got challenged and he was like, no, I think I'm good. you're a big boy. I'll take him, though. I'll take him. The other guy's like, yeah, you find me. You call me out.
That would have been way better.
There was a lot of background noise in that one too, okay, though. But okay. You know, I'll find it because there are actually a lot of good fight ones. Claude Giroux is great too, as he just mouths off, and then other people have to step in and fight for him.
I hate the Philadelphia Flyers with a passion. I love Claude Giroux.
Oh man, he's amazing.
Him as a human, he's just an interesting person.
Yes,
he doesn't get enough respect in the league either.
He doesn't. He is an outstanding hockey player. Outstanding.
Dude, my brother, for the longest time, Isha, my brother, like, just thought that I, like, talked and, like, didn't know anything about hockey. And he's a Flyers fan. And I told him, I think it was about the year that Malkin won MVP. I told him, like, within the next 3 years, Giroux wins MVP. And he's like, you're a moron. And then he won MVP. He's like, I'm going to listen to you moving forward.
I was going to say, Joe probably thinks that Giroux is better than Crosby. I think
he's not that dumb. He just likes Drew more than Crosby.
I remember must have been like 2012 or 2013 when the Flyers and Penguins. I don't know if it was a first or second round series.
Oh, 2012, man, that was a joke.
Okay,
you're talking where every game was like seven goals aside.
Yeah,
dude, that was brutal.
But the play-by-play guys were like, Giroux, best player in the world.
Oh, dude.
He's the greatest player of all time. And I was like, holy man. I was like, fuck, man, he's good, but he ain't that good. Like, calm down.
It's funny, though. There's still, like, Penguins fans that get, like, overly butthurt because that fan exists in every fan base. And all of them are still like, oh, here's Crosby handing the crown over to Giroux. Like, nah, I mean, he's not that good, but he's fucking good.
Giroux's a 100-point player in the modern NHL. That's amazing. You know, he plays 82 games, he's getting 90 to 100 points. And
hey, do we trade for him?
Man, like, I you know what's funny? Is I was going to bring that up earlier, but I was like, I can't, he's too old, and, you know, Wild fans will just come at me because of his age.
Hang on, let's play this game. How old is he?
33, 34? Hoppy was drafted in 2005 or 2006, or he's drafted in 2007?
No.
Drafted in 2006 or 2007?
He's 33. He's 33. Okay,
well, he was drafted in what, 2006 or 2007?
He's 33 with 1 year left at a little over $8 million. So maybe you go after him after he is done.
When was he drafted, since you got that up there?
That is not what I have. Oh, 2006.
2006, dude. Like, he's an older player in the league now. It's crazy. Stamkos, 2008 was when he was drafted. Like, shit, man. Dude,
Stamkos is less than a month older than me, and every time that I see him, it makes me feel so bad. Also, my wife was convinced that he was, like, 40 and ready to retire when she saw him celebrating. He looks beaten to death.
Buddy, he's got some miles on him. He's got some injury miles on him. He can still fucking score at an elite level, and that's what you love to see.
And that's what sucks is, like, where do you decide to keep the emotion in versus remove it? Because, like, you have no business moving that captain who's led this team to these things, and he's the guy that righted the ship for the team as a whole.
Yep.
But he's the guy that needs to go.
In a couple more years, we can have that conversation. He's still producing.
This year, he needs to be. But he's at how much he makes, though. No, I'm not saying he's going to go. That's what I'm saying. Where do we draw the line between emotion, right?
I know, but it's too fresh. I know the contract was signed a few years ago. It's still too fresh.
It's too fresh. You're talking about him like he died. He just won a back-to-back Stanley Cup. It is not too fresh. And that is the solution for them. They just won't do it, nor should they. They should not move him, but that is the answer, that he would be the perfect player to move to fix all of their problems.
Fair, but hey, they could move a Johnson and one other player and problem solved.
What one other player?
Whoever has another $4 million on the cap hit. You know, whatever equals 10 in the end, and then boom, Stamkos, it's palatable, you're good to go.
can you trade Stamkos to Seattle, have them retain salary, trading him to, say, Arizona or Buffalo, someone that's got some cap space, and then trade him back to Tampa with less cap? Like, is that possible if they were willing to give up the assets to do it? That's what I'm asking.
It's by the law possible, but this is not the NBA, so we will never see that.
I cheer for it because people get so upset about it, and it's, again, one of those things where it's not against the rules, so shut up.
Full circle in this podcast as we conclude things. You know, you have no problem with it in the NBA. Why do you care if it's in the NHL?
Stop comparing the NBA to the NHL. It makes me a little sick.
Well, hey, it's actually a compliment to the NHL as I'm mentioning it in the Big Four status. Thank you to those tuning in on Google, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Folks, the best thing you can do for us this week, any week, is give us 5 stars and a kind review on Apple Podcasts or iTunes. If you don't want to leave a kind review, we don't care. Tell us what you're drinking. Give us your wild takes. Hell, even leave us teasers to your make good choices, and then hit us up on the text and phone line. If you're a fan of Hockey Podcasts and just are fiending for some more, go check us out on our website, thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. We have a podcast covering every team in the National Hockey League and more. And when you do subscribe and listen to those podcasts, please download every episode before you listen, as it just helps our business, DraftKings being one of them. Don't forget to follow myself at VI Sports Talk. You can follow the Soda Pod at the Soda Pod. Hoppy, where can they find you?
At State of Hoppy, most places.
And you follow the Hockey Podcast Network at Hockey Pod Net. Thanks to everyone who participated in our playoffs contest. We gave away a ton of jerseys. We had a ton of interaction. And a ton of people who interacted with that contest are now fans of THPN shows. So really happy about that. We will have more contests all summer. We have a ton of merch now in our summer line about to drop, hats, flip-flops, you name it, as well as our OG stuff in the crew necks, the shirts, the tanks, the USA and Canada gear. I'm sporting a Canada hoodie right now. I will drop the link on the Soda Pod. But if you look up Teespring and the Hockey Podcast Network in your Google search, you will find it. Great deals. Use promo code THPN for 10% off your first purchase. And get yourself some awesome THPN summer swag. That's it for episode 175. We will see you Wednesday for a fun episode featuring Q and Joey, and then back Friday for a exciting all Minnesota Wild talk episode. Signing off, I'm Isha Dromi alongside the State of Hoppy. This has been the Soda Pod presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. We good, man?
We good.
Don't fear, just drink some beer and stay wild.